The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need.
Welcome in, everybody, and brand new week here on Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you. And as per, not usually, don't get a lot of input from people on what they would like to hear on Need to Know. But the proprietor of this operation, one Tony Curry, suggested that I go ahead and name myself the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, and a la Donald Trump. As I declare myself right now your exultant ruler, I'm going to do what he pledged to do on the first day of his new administration. Now, remember, I think we talked about it last week. Trump said, on my first day, I'm going to be a dictator, because that was the big thing. This is going to be the end of democracy. Trump's going to be a dictator. He's never going to leave office, blah, 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 blah. He jokingly said, well, on the first day, I'm going to be a dictator, because I'm going to immediately sign executive orders that close completely our border and completely reopens our dormant energy producing ability. And that's what he said. Now, Democrats to this day say the president's own words that from day one, he's going to be a dictator. I'm going to be a dictator on the first day, jokingly, to from day one, I'm going to be a dictator, are completely different statements. He did not say from day one, I'm going to be a dictator. But guess what? In my administration, I'm not shy about saying that. We'll still have democracy. We'll still have elections. But for my term, my mythical term here, as per the request of Tony Curry, who said, once you name yourself a president, I want to hear your first day executive orders. That's what we're going to do today. So get ready, everybody. Here we go. Very first executive order I'm going to sign. I've got my pen right here, scrolling out my name. The first executive order is to get back to constitutional guidelines. Is to reverse and take away so many of the things that I would, in this order, I would form the most brilliant informed committee that I could find of business leaders, of entrepreneurs, successful people, humanitarians, people that are involved in all walks of life, and have this great commission come up with guidelines to get back to our constitutional principles. Where we have gotten away from them is the whole premise of the United States of America was to have a limited federal government that basically only was concerning itself with the security of the American people and protection of our shores, etc. This bloated bureaucracy nightmare that we have in Washington with a $36 trillion deficit. Did you know in the Constitution there are actual provisions that call for annual activity in terms of spending and fiscal responsibility that sets limits on if you're over a certain figure, the next year you've got to cut some percentage of that out of the spending budget. We have ignored so much of the Constitution. And for the Democrats who have largely been in control of the federal government for the majority, the overwhelming majority of the time this country has been in effect, for them to scream about threats to democracy and constitutional crises is laughable, because they pick and choose. They only use the Constitution when it is a convenient vehicle for their agenda. The rest of the time, they completely ignore provisions. So let me just give you a quick run through. So many of the departments we have right now in Washington, Trump is trying to eliminate the Department of Education, which was a really bad idea in the Jimmy Carter administration. It just created this bloated bureaucracy that funnels money to all kinds of elite colleges. That's where Harvard goes knocking for their billions of dollars they get from the government. Why is a school that charges more than any place in the world to get an education and has an endowment fund that they're sitting on of about $50 or $60 billion? Why are our tax dollars given to Harvard and Princeton and Columbia and Yale, et cetera, et cetera? It's absolutely absurd. The Department of Education, the very first show that Terry Quillian and I did on the ride home locally here in Birmingham on Talk 99.5, the very first show we talked about eliminating the Department of Education, this was in 2017. And here it still stands, Trump suggesting that that needs to go. And the horror of the bureaucrats and the people that work at the Department of Education basically not showing up for work since COVID, just mailing it in and getting a check mailed to them. All these departments that were created, not in the Constitution, but in follow-up years, things as basic as the Department of Justice. There was no Department of Justice from the founders and the Constitution. The Department of Justice was added, again, outside the realm of what the government was supposed to be. And of course, that included the FBI, which is a federal law enforcement agency, all the other bureaucratic arms of that. From the Department of Justice, there was supposed to be White House counsel to advise the president, but there was no conception other than the three branches of government, executive, judicial, and legislative, that was foreseen and established by the founders. All of these departments, Department of just pick whatever one you want, Interior, Department of Commerce, these were all added after the fact. And all of the bureaucracy, all of these agencies and bureaus, all of this redundancy, this giant fourth branch of government, once again, executive, legislative, judicial, not administrative / bureaucratic. And that's what the Democrats have built. And that's why they were freaking out so much over the Elon Musk activities at Doge, which did find billions of dollars of cuts. But the whole idea that what they built, because what they built, as I've told you before here on the show, was a mechanism to try to channel monies into places that a taxpayer would never dream that money taken out of their check every payday is going. A lot of these riots that we're seeing right now, these protests, these are professional thugs. The police chief of Los Angeles himself said these are people wearing the same T-shirts, the same jackets, running around with these printed signs. Trucks are pulling up, issuing gas masks to these people. This is organized. This is not organic. An organic protest is some hardcore leftists out there outraged that ICE is doing its job and following the orders of a federal judge to arrest people that are in the country illegally who have already been convicted of criminal offenses or have pending charges against them in particularly violent crimes like armed robbery, murder, assault, child pornography, child sexual abuse, rape, all right down the line. 114 warrants being served by federal agents is what touched off this protest. And that protest was exacerbated not by Donald Trump calling in federal troops to protect federal buildings and keep this burning of vehicles from becoming burning of buildings like we had in Minneapolis during the 2020 riots. The bottom line is your tax dollars being funneled to these leftist organizations are some of the money going for these protests. And it's absolutely outrageous. They're not protests, they're riots. And they're created to cause upheaval and make the White House look bad. They're trying anything they can to say, see, Trump was responsible for this. The Friday night, the first night of the gatherings and the burning of vehicles and people carrying Mexican flags and Hamas flags. All of these leftist movements have nothing to do with the specific issue they're supposedly protesting. So the bottom line is, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I ranted about it on the last program that we did, but I do want to say, let's get back to the Constitution. Maybe you got to keep some of the things, but a panel could look at every aspect of what these agencies actually do. Is anybody actually working? It's an extension of the DOGE administration to look and see what can be completely cut out of government. Let's get back to the Constitution. Let's follow the vision of the founders and get on with our business. That's number one, number one. On my list. And I don't usually have a list, but since I'm being president today, I'm going to take a moment every once in a while to glance over here. I might even hold this thing because my vision is so bad I can't see. So we got that one out of the way. Here's one that's interesting. I believe that we should have a program in this country, and I'm not one to dictate curriculum, but I would sign an executive order that every American citizen, when they turn 18 years old, not having to sign up for the draft like a lot of people in my generation had to do, or even, and especially people before my generation, but when you're 18, you have to take a mandatory test on American history and civics, and you have to pass that test to be allowed to maintain your rights as a citizen, and you can continue to take it until you pass it. But it's ridiculous. When you ask men on the street, you see these interviews. Who was the opponent in the Revolutionary War? I heard a couple of people say France. I heard a couple of people say Germany. I heard somebody say Japan. It is appalling that people are walking around with opinions and the right to vote, and they don't know anything about their country and its history. How can you make informed decisions if you don't have any of that basic knowledge? I would venture to say that right now, Donald Trump at number 47 in presidents, I would venture to say that the overwhelming majority of Americans probably could not name, let's just pick a number, half of the American presidents that have served. So I would be shocked if Americans, the typical American on the street, can name 23 out of the 47 presidents that have served. There's been a lot of controversy this week, of course, with the riots in Los Angeles. I heard one Mexican illegal immigrant saying, well, California was Mexico's property originally, and it was stolen from us. So now the Mexicans think they're the Native American indigenous people. It was not stolen. Mexico was expanding its influence on the landmass that's now America. And James K. Polk, that's a president. How many people would get that? Winning the election in 1848, ran on the platform that we are going to drive Mexico and the Comanche Indians out of Texas, which has just become a state, and we are going to take back that territory. A war was fought. Mexico declared war on America. We did it in kind. The bottom line is the United States routed the Mexican army, ran them back across the Rio Grande, and in the settlement, in that situation, Mexico signed over officially California, Arizona, and New Mexico, and finally accepted that Texas was no longer Mexican territory. They had continued to fight for that despite losing every war that had been fought in the 1840s to decide that issue. So, civics. Nobody knows how the government works. People vote and they don't know what happens. They don't know what the House of Representatives do. They don't know about the Washington bureaucracy. American history and civics, executive order. You've got to pass a test or you don't get to conduct yourself as a citizen. I don't have all of the teeth of that, but for you to, it should be that you can't get a Social Security card until that happens. But I know people get their baby's Social Security cards now. So maybe that's not a practical answer. But the bottom line is to get full rights to citizenship, you have to pass my mandatory American history and civics test. That's number two. Let's move on to the next one here. It is the elimination of the investigative ability of Congress. Now, as an executive order, this steps on the other branch of government, but there's got to be some way to do this through some kind of constitutional amendment or whatever the process would involve. The waste of time in Washington by Congress calling people in to investigate things that whatever party's in power thinks is going to gain them a political advantage. It is the biggest waste of time. It is absolutely designed for a dog and pony show for these senators and representatives to grandstand their views and try and break down the witnesses to side with their side with their version of how things should be. And the bottom line is, after all this time and all this effort and all this media coverage, these congressional investigative hearings have no teeth because there's never anything results from it. Because if a decision is made that somebody has done something illegal, the Department of Justice is the referral agency to get all of the facts, and it's up to them to bring charges. Congress has no ability to do that. All they can do is grandstand and try and impress the folks back home and people around the country. Congressional investigative hearings need to be booted off the agenda of the American governmental agenda. And that would be a big one for me, because there's nothing more useless. Breasts on a bull is more useful than a congressional hearing. And I cleaned up that quote because I know this is a family show. All right. This was one that Trump is trying to do right now, and he has signed an executive order. If it's not done by the time my administration starts, we need to end birthright citizenship. Birthright citizenship. You can have two of the most rabid Middle Eastern people, from Iran, let's say from the hot spots of the world, Somalia, or just pick a card, all these places, Lebanon, Yemen. If these people can get to the American border and set one foot inside the United States and have a child born minutes later, that child is an American citizen. That is absolutely absurd. It is not the intention of the 14th Amendment, which was a provision to try and make sure that the children of slavery born in this country, who were at that time granted full citizenship, this was going to ensure that their children, who were born in bondage to these parents that were granted citizenship, and of course it was just the men at first, but the bottom line is that was the intention of that language. It was not for any straggler to come into the country just long enough to give birth to a child and we declare, oh, he's an American. No, he's not. No, she's not. They're the parents of foreigners who shouldn't be in this country to start with. If you legally immigrate to the country and become American citizens, of course your child should be considered an American. But illegals giving birth to you might not know this, but we had countless thousands of mothers whose determination to get to the American border prior to giving birth was designed to try to give their child theoretically a better life, but to probably get that child into the country declared a citizen so they can bring the whole clan, the whole town, the whole family in. It is not the intention of the Constitution. I hope Trump is successful, but that is one of mine. If I am successful on my first day of my term, end birthright citizenship. Now, here's another one about Congress, and it just absolutely makes me laugh at the absurdity of this. We need term limits for Congress. Yes, you bet your ass we need term limits for Congress. But people that call for that are so I don't know, naive, because the only way that that's going to happen is Congress to pass laws that set those term limits. And folks, that ain't going to happen. They are not going to vote their seat on the gravy train out. That it is, you've got senators like Richard Shelby here from Alabama, who served six, count them, six terms in the United States Senate. That was a 36-year run for Shelby. And God only knows how much money he pocketed in that time. It's the greatest gig in the world to be in Congress, to be a senator or a representative. It is the primo job, because everybody's giving you checks. Everybody's giving you free things. You get trips. You get all these benefits. It's the greatest job in the world. And these people are never, ever going to pass a law to cost them the opportunity to do this. Now, the Senate is an interesting case study, and I would move to put back the constitutional provisions of electing senators. It was not by the vote of the public. The senators, by the Constitution, were to be selected at the beginning of each term for state legislatures, which typically are four-year terms. So every 4 years, the state legislature would select the senator for the next term, which theoretically then would be 4 years. That was gotten rid of at the end of the 19th century, and it went to a vote. And it's a problem because all these states continue to send the same people back year after year after year. And the longer you're in Washington, the more corrupt you'll become, because the temptation is too great. The personal riches are too high. And you get these people like John McCain at the end of his career before his death, that became so full of himself and glorified his role as a great leader of the country. These people actually get to the point where they think they deserve this compensation. They're making less than $200,000 a year, and they walk away multimillionaires from their service in Congress, their public service. It's not public service. Ladies and gentlemen, it's self-service. And we need to fix it. We need to get back to the original conception of limited terms for congressmen and senators. It's absolutely ridiculous that you've got people going up there and serving for decades, and they serve themselves. They don't serve you in any way, shape, or form. It may take a constitutional amendment, or it may take, on the state level, states to put in laws that limit the terms of their particular representatives. That doesn't violate any kind of federal constitutional provision, because the states were given that right to start with. There's a way to do it, believe me, if some real smart constitutional lawyer puts his nose to the grindstone and comes up with it. On immigration, almost every civilized, successful country in the world has merit-based immigration. I know a guy who retired from a long, distinguished career with one of the big communications companies. He had always dreamed of retiring to Ireland. It was where his family roots were. He actually bought a house in Ireland and tried to move there. But when he arrived, he ran into problems with the immigration people, that he had to show what contribution he was going to make to that country in order to be allowed citizenship and to be allowed to occupy the house that he had already bought. And it turned out his application was rejected, because this guy is in retirement years. He's not eligible, according to Irish law, to just lock, stock, and barrel move in unless he's bringing something to the table. Try to immigrate to Australia. Unless you come in and say, hey, I've got all these great ideas on how to enhance the Australian economy. I'm going to start this company. I'm going to invest this much money in Australians' infrastructure financially. That's the only way you get granted the opportunity, other than a tourist visa. If you want to move to Australia, you've got to show that you're worthy. Why is the United States not in that mode? If somebody wants to come here and can make a case that why they are going to be a valuable citizen and what they're going to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be financially based, but there's got to be some merit consideration in immigration. You just don't let stragglers come in, and you sure as hell don't do what happened in the previous administration. Let 12 to 15 million people who we don't know anything about, don't have any clue who they are or what they're up to, and certainly can be pretty damn sure they are not coming here to make a worthwhile contribution to this country. Now, people will argue that farm workers, and I love what Eva Longoria said. She left for Spain because the tension in this country was just unbearable for her. But did you hear her quote this week? She said, well, these people that we're picking on are taking care of our children and preparing our meals. How insulting. So she's basically saying the slave labor that's doing the menial jobs so we can be out jet setting and being big stars, need to be left alone. It's insulting. It's ridiculous. We need merit-based immigration, and we need it right now. I've covered a lot of these. Let's see what else we got here. We talked about term limits. I want to eliminate the IRS, and I bet that would be a popular decision. The federal tax situation is something that has needed to be overhauled for so many years. It's complicated. It's ridiculous. It's abusive. And if you screw up, you've got the wrath of the world's nastiest collection agency breathing down your neck. It doesn't need to be that way. There are all kinds of options on how the federal government can derive revenue without this ridiculous bureaucratic nightmare IRS organization shaking down American citizens. And there, some of the ideas are a flat tax where basically everybody has to pay a certain amount every year that's determined by a group of authorities, similar to kind of the property tax provision based on things that you have, a consumption tax where every time you buy a product or service, the buyer or seller, predominantly the seller who's making the profit off of it, all the way back to the manufacturer, there's a chain of money on every product, service, house, property, whatever sold that goes to the government. And I like this one, a federal sales tax, which would only tax purchases of all goods and services in the country. Now, remember, you'll say, well, we can't have that. That's ridiculous. Everything costs too much as it is. But if there's no income tax and it's a federal sales tax, that is a way the government can even probably make a lot more money. And it's based on the healthier the economy, the more spending, so the better the government does. It makes a lot more sense than trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip from Americans that are struggling and the government stepping in and taking so much of their money that could be helping them provide a better life for their family. The things they buy, the more successful they are, the more money would be in circulation. I love the idea of a federal sales tax to replace the mandatory IRS mandated and enforced income tax. So that's a lot of my major ones. This one is important to me too, as we got to start to wind this down. But I want veteran services and benefits dramatically improved. I'm signing the executive order. When people serve our country, particularly people that have given so much and come back, if you're already not contributing to Tunnels for Towers, it's T2T.org. They're only asking $11 a month out of every American citizen, but they do extraordinary work building housing. To have any veteran sleeping on the street that is homeless and destitute is absolutely abominable. We can't do that. We can't continue to tolerate it. We've got to take care of these people. We've got to enhance agencies. We don't need to be giving money to these leftist organizations who are only concerned with taking care of illegal aliens. We need to take care of our own, and our own is are particularly people that have served our nation honorably and come back and deserve the best life we can possibly provide for them as a sign of our gratitude. So dramatic improvement. Again, I want the best and brightest minds, not Congress, who won't do anything except find a way to spend more money needlessly, allocating billions and trillions of dollars that end up in the hands of organizations like the Environmental Protection Agency, who tried to give Stacey Abrams in Georgia, an extreme left-wing politician who had started a fake organization, $2 billion. That's what they're doing with your tax money, folks. Wake up, smell the coffee. Just think of that money as being channeled to our veterans, providing them houses, enhancing agencies like Tunnels to Towers that's doing such amazing work. So that's a major one. Benefits for our veterans. And this one might be a little controversial. I don't want to end this for anybody under 12 years old. Soccer moms are hot, and I don't want to do anything to upset them. God knows I need all the help with women I can get. I don't need to upset any more of them. But the game of soccer is a European product. It is a Central American, Mexican, South American. It's just a sensation all over the world. And people call it the beautiful game. I don't see anything beautiful about it. I think soccer is a gigantic waste of time. My sports platter is completely full with all of our great American sports. I'm not really interested in seeing soccer invade my screen. And here's what I'm really at, Rich. If there's a specific channel for soccer, or if one network wants to specialize in soccer, I guess I can grin and bear that. But for God's sake, if I'm watching a baseball game or a college football game, I do not want to see who won the game earlier in the day or 12 hours before between Tottenham and Arsenal. I don't know where Tottenham is. I don't know what Arsenal is. I don't care about, Real Madrid and the European Soccer League. They've got about five different levels and layers, and people are all excited. We've got the World Cup coming in a couple of years. You know, that's a world event. I guess, you know, I could grin and bear that as well. But I don't want to see soccer results from Mexico and Guatemala and Europe on my sports screen invading my Saturdays and Sundays of watching baseball or football. I'm not a European. I don't think some schmuck over in Tottenham, wherever that is in England, is sitting there watching the big match between his team and Leeds or, you know, wherever. And I doubt at the bottom of the screen, he goes, "Oh, blimey, this is amazing. The Padres have beaten the Dodgers." I don't think we're flashing MLB scores at the bottom of their screen. Now, they're NFL crazy, so they might be getting that. But I don't want to know the European soccer scores, because the big problem, too, with soccer, if it was just one season, it'd be one thing. But it is not. It's year round, and there's multi leagues going on. And about half the time on the ticker at the bottom of the screen, it's soccer scores. I've had it up to here. I've put up with it these last couple of decades. Everybody says, "You watch, soccer's going to take over everything." They were telling me that when I was a kid. Soccer has not taken over everything in this country. It's because we have so many illegals and so many young people being brainwashed by this leftist movement that soccer is some fabulous attraction, some great game. It's got to stop. Soccer is not an American game. It's not of interest to the overwhelming majority of American soccer fans, no matter how much some blowhard tries to argue with you that it's such a significant force on the American sports scene. No more soccer. I've already got my bumper sticker design. I was going to run for mayor of Clay, Alabama when I first moved here and bought a house out there, because on our beautiful football field our team had to not be on that field 2 days a week for practice. We had to go to the outfield of the baseball fields that were dormant in the winter because the soccer people got to take over the football field 2 days a week. It was an outrage. I was going to run for mayor of Clay with the platform of outlawing soccer, and I had my bumper sticker all prepared, a soccer ball with a giant red slash through it. So that's one of my soapbox issues. You make me president, you got to deal with it. If you love soccer, I'm sorry. It's yesterday's news. And finally, as a tribute to Woody Allen and the movie Bananas, about the dictator that gets power, he's kind of cast after Castro. Remember his first executive order? He says, immediately effective, all citizens must change their underwear every hour. From this point forward, underwear will be worn on the outside so we can check. So that's my final executive order, just because I think that's hilarious. Everybody, that's Need to Know for this week. We'll be back to ranting and raving about what's happening around the world and in our country. Of course, the big headline overnight, Israel has finally said enough is enough. They did a precision bombing raid on Iran about 12 or 14 hours ago, as I record this, that took out a ton of their nuclear infrastructure and almost all of the key people working on their enrichment of uranium, threatening the very existence of Israel. As death to Israel and death to the United States is the rallying cry from this most corrupt nation on the planet. The Israelis, like they always do, coordinated on the ground, knew exactly what to hit, where to hit. The intelligence and the absolute amazing abilities of Israel to defend itself continue to amaze me every time they pull off another audacious operation. So we'll talk about that next week. In the meantime, I hope everybody has a fantastic week coming up. Thanks for listening, as always. President Kiefer signing off of Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.